Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We've all said it at some point. I can't believe it. It's too good to be true. Disciples had that moment in our gospel text today. And while they still disbelieve for joy, St. Luke says, Jesus has what seems to be a moment of utter randomness. Do you have anything to eat? What? Where does that come from? Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, the risen and living Lord, does a very risen and resurrected thing. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. He shows them exactly what their future holds. Your bodies aren't cast aside in death. You don't throw them away because you get them back. And you get them back perfected and new and whole and glorious. So the first half of this gospel text today is all about Jesus making sure he has the disciples' attention. It's Easter evening. They're in a locked room. And Jesus appears. And he says the phrase that you know so well, peace to you. Peace. Seems like such a simple, churchy word, but it is so heavy with theological weight. He's tying together the very last threads of this tapestry that he wove with his life and his teaching. And not only does he speak peace upon them, he also reminds them of the reality of his resurrection, that this is the whole point of his life and his death on earth. Not just that your sins are forgiven, not just that he's washed you clean in his blood, not just that you are now God's child in baptism, but that all of this makes you special. It makes you holy. You are worth it in God's eyes. Worth enough for him to give his life for you. All of you is worth his effort, your body and your soul. The trivial way that Jesus seems to treat death reinforces that. He treats the dead as if they're just sleeping. He speaks to them the way that you would to try and get your kids or grandkids to get out of bed. Death is nothing to him. It's just a nap. And that's why his seemingly random request for food isn't random at all. He deliberately shows his followers that he is no ghost. He is no spirit. This isn't some apparition hovering in the room, but he is flesh and blood, body and soul. And what better way to reinforce the reality of his physical presence than to eat? He's really there. He is really alive. Hands and feet and flesh and bones. And he has their undivided attention. They are focused now. They're ready to hear what comes next. And that's what the last half of this text is. It's a review and a preparation. It is the definitive way to preach Jesus. These are his last words in St. Luke's Gospel, and arguably some of the most important. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And just like that, he covers the whole of the Old Testament. Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, all of it. It all talks about him. All of it is about Jesus. Use the Old Testament for any reason other than to point to Jesus, and you're doing it wrong. He says so himself. Go back and reread the last few chapters of each of the Gospels and look at Jesus' words from the cross. Nearly everything he says comes from the Psalms. Psalm 22, Psalm 31, Psalm 69. Jesus prays the Psalms for his people as he is sacrificed for them. And the Psalms that he prays are those which testify to him as the Son of God, as Redeemer of the world. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. And it doesn't stop there. It isn't just any preaching. It isn't just babbling on about Jesus and how Jesus wants you to have a nice life, and Jesus wants you to have a nice home, and Jesus wants you to have a perfect spouse, and Jesus wants you to have the perfect kids. No, that's not what he says. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in the name of him, the text literally says. In the name of. That's baptism talk. And it's right there in the next line. I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. I promise Father, Son, Spirit, Father. They're all three at work in the hearer for you. What happened in Jerusalem is for you. And so this gathering is no intellectual exercise. Worship is not a nebulous feel-good thing. You're not here to learn some nice principles to help you get through the week. Jesus doesn't die and rise again so that you can spend your days trying to figure out how you can spend the minimum amount of time in church and still squeak across the finish line on the last day. Jesus dies and rises again for you, to give you the certainty of the forgiveness of your sins, to give you the certainty of your salvation, to give you the certainty of a life that never ends, a bodily life that never ends. And that certainty comes right here. It comes in the splash of water and the name of God placed upon you. Its certainty comes right here. It comes with the same crucified and resurrected body and blood of Jesus given into your mouths for you. The resurrection of Jesus on Easter is the final proclamation. It's the last shout. It's the ultimate, thus saith the Lord, proclamation about your future and what Jesus did to secure it for you. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's the reality of the dead and risen again Jesus and his work on earth. And it's the proclamation, the preaching, that this work is for you. Not your work for him. Not your striving to be good enough. Not your goal to do more good than bad before you die and hope that the scales balance out in your favor. Not your plan to do it your way and forget what Christ has already done. No. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the assurance of his presence among us for you. His spiritual and physical presence. And so this gospel reminds you that you wade out into the boundless ocean of Christ's forgiveness every time water and word wash a sinner. You glimpse the immeasurable glory of God's throne room every time the word of God is read and proclaimed in its truth and purity, and the voice of the Lord shakes the very timbers of this building. You are drenched in the tsunami of Christ's cleansing blood every time your sins are forgiven. and you step into the eternal banquet hall of the Lord, filled with saints and angels. Every time the true body and the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is placed in your mouth for you. So no, this divine service is no simple show. This is no going through the motions, no greatest hits album from the hymnal. This is for real, for you. This is your now, and this is your future. This is the Lord our God, the great I Am, coming down from Sinai, striding out of the burning bush, stepping through the rent asunder curtain in the temple. This gospel is Jesus reaching out for you. Reaching out when you're uncertain and filled with doubt. Reaching out when you are sure that God doesn't love you anymore. Reaching out when you're screaming on the inside because you don't know where to turn. Reaching out when you know that life isn't fair and you wonder why you have to suffer this way. Reaching out when you're racked with deep sobs of grief that you almost can't contain. You have a Lord and you have a Savior who hears it all, who bears it all, who bore that uncertainty and that unbelief and that pain and that suffering and that grief for you, so that you wouldn't have to suffer any more than what this short life throws at you. He bore it for you. He died to it for you. He takes it away from you. And here, he heals you. He gives you his peace. He gives you his love. He gives you his forgiveness. He gives you his salvation. It's all for you. All gift to you. So unplug your ears, soften your hearts, receive what the Lord has given for you. Because he has a glorious and unspeakably beautiful forever plan for all of his children. And we will all live and reign with him in that eternal future, in body, in soul, in perfection, forever. Because he has gone before and made a way for you. Amen.